Welcome to a very special edition of Sitting Around Talking Movies. This is our Oscar prediction show, and we're usually right if you've listened to the show in the past or listened to our watched our television show called Talking Pictures. 95% of the time, we are correct. So if you got an Oscar pool, this is the show you want to listen to.
You are correct, sir.
I'm Neil Rosen. I'm joined, as always, by Bill Brigoli.
Hello there.
Bill McCuddy.
I'm more right than he is, usually.
And sitting in with us this week from Collider is Perry Nemiroff.
Hi.
Who also is usually right about this stuff. I'm really serious about this. Our track record is impeccable.
Okay, good. So say that so when we're really wrong this year, we'll look really stupid.
No, but just look at the past.
And for those of you who don't know Perry Nemiroff on the show, she's Emma Stone's stunt double.
Yep.
So in all the La La, you know the scenes in La La Land where she gets in a bar fight or those?
I did that.
Goes over a barbed wire fence.
So
that
before
was Perry.
We get to the predictions, Jimmy Kimmel is hosting this year, and we actually talked to Jimmy Kimmel. And, you know, I think Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, is, he hosted the Emmys last year, and he's great. I mean, you know,
every year he comes to New York and he hosts what's called the upfronts too, and he's supposed to be really, really funny at that. That's where the advertising agencies get to hear about all the new shows, and he turned it into a roast like 9 years ago, and they bring him back year after year after year. So this is kind of long overdue. He works for ABC, and every year they've hired somebody else.
Well, there's a trend that whoever is broadcasting an award show is getting their late night host to do it. CBS had the Grammys, and James Corden just did that a few weeks ago. Jimmy Fallon hosted the Golden Globes, and Jimmy Fallon was on NBC. He's the NBC Tonight Show host. Colbert hosted something. I think it was the Kennedy Center Honors, and that was CBS. And so, you know, so
but the Oscars have never gone to ABC necessarily. They've had Johnny Carson and Bob Hope,
but they're always on ABC.
Gone to their own talent pool.
Well,
what I'm
you know, the thing is, the way the Oscars have worked the last number of years is they've had they've had the Oscar show and followed by a Jimmy Kimmel Live show where all because the theater is you were standing on the stage of that theater a couple of years ago. Right. It's literally across the street from the
police escorted me off it. But
now it's the Dolby Theater. It used to be the Kodak Theater, but it was built for
There's
the Oscars.
No such thing as Kodak.
So they wander over after the Oscars and they go. So now I guess they won't do that because he's.
Yeah, I don't know what his after show plans are, but he's the man.
So he's hosting. I think he's going to be great. And our own Bill Brigoli
got a soundbite. And in this bite, Jimmy talked about what a tough and difficult room it is to work.
Of course I want to do well. It's a little bit of a difficult situation because the audience at home wants to see you tear everyone to pieces. And the people in the room, this is the greatest night of their lives and all I can do is ruin it. So it's a tight wire act.
You know, he did, as a follow-up to that, a big interview with The Hollywood Reporter. And, you know, everyone wants to know, is it going to be political? Is it all going to be about Trump? And he said as recently as yesterday, so we're taping this about a week in advance of the Oscars.
5 days.
He doesn't know until the very last minute.
Well,
I
watched Jimmy Kimmel Live, the show, and his monologue, when he's not talking shilling for The Bachelor, which is an ABC show, or Dancing with the Stars, which is another ABC show, he does have some very pointed political humor that, you know, that involves Trump. So I think it would be a glaring omission. I cannot imagine that there are not Trump jokes laced through the monologue.
Well, as they mentioned Meryl Streep, there's going to be a Trump joke.
Right, and
I'd be shocked if there weren't any Trump jokes, but at the same time, maybe the producers of the show are looking at it as so many of the acceptance speeches are going to touch on that, so they might want to steer clear of it in his opening monologue just for the sake of not making it an entire show about that.
Good point.
You know, at the same time, it is Jimmy Kimmel. It is what everybody is talking about at this point. I'm more curious to see what they wind up doing for that big musical opening number because the Golden Globes, to me, already stole the best idea. So I can't wait to see how they top that.
Well, did anybody see the musical number that John Oliver did on Last Week Tonight on Sunday night?
I'm pretty safe to say nobody saw that. Well, although he won the Writers Guild Award this week.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
He showed a music video from Russia where they were praising Putin. It's a big popular music video in Russia. And then at the end, they staged their own musical number of, like, don't trust Putin, don't trust Russia. It was hysterical. That would have been a great opening Oscar number.
Yeah, okay.
Although they wouldn't.
I'm just sick that won't be able to happen.
Well, Bill and I were talking on the phone the other day, and there was this goldderby.com, which is this site that handicaps Oscars with, like, 15 experts, and they're pretty accurate too, was floating this idea of inviting Donald Trump to co-host the Oscars with Jimmy Kimmel. And I have to tell you something. Can't like that idea or hate that idea, wouldn't that be the highest rated Oscar telecast like in history? If you said Donald Trump will be co-hosting the Oscars,
half of Hollywood wouldn't show up.
Exactly.
And the half that did probably wouldn't take the stage with him.
Well,
I mean, it's really gotten hostile. I mean, you're absolutely right. It would,
I was assuming that if everybody just showed up, that would be the most like.
We have to wonder without Donald Trump whether the numbers are going to be very big this year, because I think a lot of people, Mrs. McCuddy included, says she knows it's going to be too political. It's an inside baseball movie about Hollywood, La La Land, which is considered the front runner. So there's not Secretariat or there's not Seabiscuit. I meant or anything like that that. People
popular,
are rooting for
yeah.
the popular movies. I mean, they've made some money, but I got to think the flyover states are thinking, just like Donald Trump, the whole thing's overrated.
Well, all right. So let's get to some predictions. Okay, let's start easy. Let's start with the best supporting actor and actress categories. And, anybody could jump in. Bill Bregoli, what do you think? Who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
All right, who's up for best supporting actor?
For best supporting actor, the nominees are... let me get my list. This is.
I did that just so
okay.
He could do this.
Mahershala Ali for Moonlight.
Okay, him.
Consider the front runner.
Yep.
Okay, him.
Yeah, I'm going with him. Now, had I read Jeff Bridges first, would you have said okay him or?
No, I wasn't.
Jeff Bridges.
He won already for basically
yeah.
the same character.
Okay,
right.
Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel for Lion, and Michael Shannon.
Good
for he just loves doing that. And Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals. So you're going with Mahershala Ali, right?
Right.
Okay, why are you doing that?
Because he's the odds-on favorite.
He's the
he's the one.
Think?
He's the new face.
What do you think, Perry?
It would be
he
nice.
Will win without a doubt, and he deserves it too. I really like every
single
option in
this category.
He was in three
movies this year. Is it kind of a not career achievement, a year achievement? Because he was in Hidden Figures, and he was also in Kicks.
And he was great in Hidden Figures too.
He was great
another
in
similar
Kicks.
Situation where he barely
Kicks
had any screen time yet was
yeah.
super memorable in it.
So guess who was in three times as many movies? Guess who was in three times as many movies as Ali? No. No.
You're right. He was in 10 times as many.
The long shot upset of the night, because there's always one, is going to be Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals.
No way, man.
Nope.
Go ahead. Say no effing way. Go ahead.
No fucking way. There's no way that's happening.
He's a tradesman. He shows up at everything. They love him out there.
He's not winning.
He didn't get it for Revolutionary Road. This is his year. It's a big upset. You heard it here first.
Okay. So we have a bet, Bill and I. We make an annual bet, and we're betting.
Well, let's wait till we get to Best Actress for that.
Would you like to make another bet for dinner with Mahershala
No, that this
Ali?
This yeah, give me 50-1 odds. I mean, this is that's
oh,
the
Oh, so you're saying that it's going to be Michael Shannon, but you really don't think it's going to be, because I'm willing to bet you right here on this podcast that I'll give you everybody in that category, including Michael Shannon, and take Mahershala Ali and just say he's going to win.
All right, I'll take that for $5.
You don't want to do it for dinner?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, dinner at McDonald's or $5.
McDonald's is the founder. Talking about McDonald's, that's a great movie that didn't get any nominations. The Ray Kroc story. The
what
guy.
A Kroc.
I loved The Founder.
I think it's going to be Mahershala Ali. My
Five
favorite
bucks
performance
says you're
in the category was Lucas Hedges, who it's a very dreary film. And
but wait a minute. I've got a pretty good bet here, because the other Dev Patel is the person that's gotten all
so
the heat after the bet.
Make a dinner?
No, $5 is fine.
No.
such a wimp. All right.
We'll get to my gutsy bet in a little
Lucas
while.
Hedges was my favorite performance. You know, Manchester by the Sea is a really good film, and
people were the comic relief.
And it's such a downer, tragic film, and
he's
here's
not
a
really
kid who's like
relief.
Brings a bit of comic relief, and he's trying to be a normal kid and get laid amidst this horrible things that are happening.
He's
all
probably
around
the lighter character in that super dreary movie, but I certainly wouldn't call him comic.
No, I wouldn't
relief.
Say comic relief, although. I don't know.
Yeah, he's done that whoopee cushion, but he's got some funny.
That's my favorite performance. Although Dev Patel's quite good too. I mean, really, do you think that the Mahershala Ali performance is? I mean, forget the fact that he's in three movies. The Moonlight. He's only in.
The problem is he's only in a third of this movie.
There's three sections in Moonlight. He's only in the first section. And he's only in part of that first section. So do you really think that that's more
worthy? You're talking yourself out of your own bet.
No, I think I'll tell you what's going to win, not what I want to win. Do you really think that that's more a stronger performance than, let's say, Dev Patel or, let's say, Lucas Hedges?
If I'm talking about Michael Shannon,
to use your...
The only way to quantify it is to do the most memorable performance. And of everybody on this list, I would say he did give the most memorable performance, regardless of how much screen time he had.
I'm telling you, a lot of the stars get dressed by Tom Ford. They're gonna throw him this bone. I know it's a wild theory, but that's mine, and I'm gonna stick by it for $5.
Okay, what about best actress, best supporting actress? Okay, you want to know who's up in this?
Read them for Bregoli again.
Okay, Bill Bregoli, and only for Bill Bregoli.
Pick the first one.
Viola Davis for Fences, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea.
I go with Naomi Harris.
Are you kidding?
Really?
No, I'm kidding you. I am. Viola Davis.
That's one of the locks of the evening. Viola Davis. And she's great in that, you know? My personal favorite is Michelle Williams, even though it's not as much screen time. You talk about memorable. There's this scene that she has with Casey Affleck.
Gut-wrenching.
In Manchester by the Sea, where she completely breaks down. And
can
I
we have lunch?
Reveal it if you haven't seen the film. But that, I saw that movie months ago at the Hampton Film Festival in early October, and that scene still comes back to me in my brain.
Also, when you think of that movie overall, that is the scene that I immediately think of.
Right.
I wouldn't mind seeing Naomi Harris walk away with that award, though. Her performance in Moonlight is freaking haunting.
And Octavia Spencer is great, too.
I like Viola Davis. I mean, you know, she also has when she loses it, loses her shit.
But she shouldn't be, it's unfair, really, because she should be... actress
category.
She could be the actress category.
The funny thing is, it's like a flip-flop from whatever year The Help was, where Octavia and Viola were both nominated. Octavia got the win. Viola didn't. Now, this year, they're both nominated, and I guess it's well-known.
She is the cream of Collider, ladies and gentlemen. She's the best one at Collider. And she actually deserves it. If anyone from Collider is listening, she should get a big raise.
Joke in your office about the Super Collider.
Well, it would
Some people have confused the new movie that's coming out called Collide with Collider, which is, I don't know if that's the crossover you want to make.
You're smashing particles.
Atoms together,
right? Find the God particle.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Kind of like our show every week.
All right. So listen. So last year and the year, last year there was the Oscars So White controversy because everybody that was nominated in an acting category was white.
Because there were lousy
movies
last year.
The same thing happened. So do you think the Academy listened? Do you think that some of these nominees, like, okay, what's your thoughts on all of this?
They had more people in good films.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Simple as that. It's a numbers thing.
Okay.
It's not a matter of listening to anything.
If it had just been about that, then they wouldn't have listened to the Nate Parker controversy and they would have pushed that movie through.
Hey, that's the Nate Parker movie, The Birth of a Nation, which he starred in, directed, and co-wrote, where it talks about the first slave rebellion, is a great movie. And that movie, because of these,
Controversy,
the sexual thing, you know, that movie. And it's a horrible thing, but I think the movie should stand on its own two feet and just be judged as a movie. You don't go into a museum and look at a painting or listen to a Wagner symphony. I can't listen to that because he was Hitler's composer. I mean, just judge the art for the art.
That movie really vanished, though. Like, it was just
gone. But I like that. Did you like that movie?
$17 million at Sundance.
Yes.
Wasn't it the best Oscar?
That was the front runner. That was the movie.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. If there wasn't – okay, so he apparently in college, him and the co-writer were accused of raping this woman who is now dead. She died a few years later.
Killed herself.
And, and he was exonerated. He was found not guilty. Okay, so let's say none of that ever happened or none of that came to light. Would we be looking at this movie, The Birth of a Nation?
Well, I didn't love it as much as you. I thought it was very lifetimey.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that he acted and directed and gave himself all sorts of cool close-ups.
Well –
That's your complaint with the movie.
Yeah, that's my complaint. It was. I kept saying this is a vanity project.
So that Perry, was another thing, though. It wasn't just the controversy. Even when it came out, the people that did make it a priority to go see the movie walked out, and they were not as hyped as people who saw it at Sundance.
So you're saying so? Okay. So answer my question.
Sundance
Perry.
Drank the Kool-Aid. That's what
so
we're
answer
saying.
My question.
Sundance
There's
got
no. Well, this thing never comes to light about this rape thing when he was in college. Does this movie?
I would not have put it in the Oscar race.
Okay.
You're alone
on
that.
So I'm going with Viola. So to recap, in the supporting categories, except for Bill McCuddy, we're all going with Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, except McCuddy.
Stunning upset.
He's got a Michael Shannon moronic pick.
Nine movies last year.
And Best Supporting Actress, we're all going with Viola Davis. But you guys want Naomi Harris. And but you're going with Viola Davis. Right?
No, I will. Of course, it's a slam dunk, but I wouldn't be surprised. That's the category that this is the category where there really are upsets every
and
year.
I think this is a lock with Viola, and you're going with Viola.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're going with Viola.
Yeah.
And
but I'm Michelle going, could win.
Yeah, Michelle was great. All right, Best Actress. Isabelle Huppert for Elle, Ruth Nega for Loving, Natalie Portman for Jackie, Emma Stone for La La Land, and Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. I think Emma Stone's the lock in the category, you know?
She's very vulnerable.
There will
be
no chance in this world that there will be an upset in this category of all categories.
She's very vulnerable.
She has that Oscar
I agree. I think she's
locked.
Vulnerable. But,
I will drop dead if somebody else wins that award besides her at this point.
I'll tell you who's going to win that in a moment. But first, Bergoli, what do you think?
I would like to see someone else win it, to be honest.
Well, who do you think?
She's very good, and she's sweet, and she's lovely, but she can't sing a lick.
Field.
Oh, my God.
What about Natalie Portman? Portman is an
That's
upset
That's the best
there.
Performance up there. I didn't like the movie, but I think she embodies Jacqueline Kennedy. At the probably the lowest point in her life, I mean, she's sitting in a car and sees her husband, the president of the United States, get his brains blown out while she's sitting there, and then she has to keep a public persona and make funeral arrangements. I think it's an amazing performance. I don't care for the movie, but that's the best performance up there, I think.
I'd like to see Isabelle Huppert win, but no one in the Oscars probably got through that screener.
I think if there's an upset, it will be Isabelle
Huppert.
No way. Excuse me. I said that on the show. I said it on our television show. I'm going to repeat it.
Anyone who has
seen La La Land and has seen, in particular, Emma Stone perform Audition, has seen and heard her perform that number, you can't vote for
anybody else. Here's exactly where you're wrong.
Well,
you want to hear exactly why you're wrong? All the Oscar voters are between the ages of 80 and death. They grew up with real musicals. Now, I'm saying this from, I love La La Land, and I'd be thrilled if she won. However, they've seen better voices and better singers, and they're about the age of Isabelle Huppert. They're really thrilled an older actress is nominated, and they proved it in three other award shows where she was the surprise winner, including the Golden Globes.
Odds, though, it's like, look, Emma Stone already won the SAG Award, and then you have to consider how many of the people in the voting body have seen Elle, and how many people have seen Elle.
You know who votes in the SAGs now?
Who?
300,000 people, because they merged with AFTRA. That means there's a weatherman in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who votes for
300,000 people.
You can't go by
voting,
the SAGs
not
anymore.
Voting for I mean,
of course they can.
I'm SAG. I didn't get a ballot. I'm SAG after
you. Were supposed
you.
To go online. I know. All right. All right. Calm down. Well, coming off the ledge.
Next.
Okay. So anyway.
So wait. You've been bragging about this big bet of ours. That's our bet this year. I'm taking Isabelle, and you're taking
Emma. I'm giving Bill McCuddy the field. Basically, I'm taking Emma Stone to win. And if anybody other than Emma Stone wins, Bill McCuddy wins. So so that's it. But I will tell you that. You know, I think that Emma Stone, look, if she wins, and I think she will, I don't think her voice is that great. She's singing, you know, and I think her dancing is
adequate. That is a statement.
No. And I think that, her dancing is adequate, and it's a musical. You should have a great voice if you're going to win an Oscar in a musical.
I think she does have a great voice.
I'll tell you what she's got going for her. She's got the ingenue.
The ingenue thing is going for her.
They like that. Old people like to pick a young person.
Will La La Land
who's
get
coming
caught
up and coming,
up,
and they can't
we'll,
do it
we'll
in support.
Her performance in La La Land is the perfect example of an actress elevating what was already on the page.
Ryan Gosling's better.
What do you
she's,
going
she's
good
is excellent
Ryan,
too.
She's good because of Ryan Gosling. If you're listening now, we've broken into two different shows.
Emma Stone,
Perry and I,
but Isabelle Huppert should.
Okay,
doing the rules should.
All right, Best Actor: Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea; Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge; Ryan Gosling, La La Land; Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic; and Denzel Washington in Fences. Perry, who's going to win? Who do you want to win?
I wouldn't mind seeing Ryan Gosling win, just because
he's not nominated. Oh, yeah, he is nominated.
Just because I adore La La Land.
He can't sing either.
It doesn't matter. Do you see him? Well, one, he can't sing because City of Stars is also going to win Best Original Song.
So that
will happen. He will wind up with an Oscar one way or the other. But he is an exceptional piano player. Do you see what he accomplished?
He's also
a
great comedian. He's like,
yeah, you always say that. I don't get that.
His timing is impeccable.
He's he is so good in that
hilarious
movie. So I would like to see him win. It is not going to happen. It's definitely down to Denzel or Casey Affleck. And I still think Casey Affleck has the edge at this point, so I would bet on him.
It's a two-person race, like you said, Perry, between Denzel and Casey Affleck. Even though Casey Affleck has sexual harassment allegation charges.
Oh, those are old and asked and answered. Nothing on the level of Nate.
Our friend, we know people in the Academy that aren't voting for their reason. I won't name names. But I say that Casey Affleck is going to win. I think that, but it could be Denzel because he won the SAG Award, as we said.
They're not giving Fences both supporting actress and actor.
I think Casey Affleck's going to win. I think Casey Affleck's going to win, and I'm not a big fan of the guy personally, but I think that he's going to win.
I think Ryan Gosling's going to win, especially if there's a sweep.
I would love to see that happen.
La La Land sweep. He'll get sucked up in that.
I would be shocked if Ryan Gosling
wins. I'm very into winning my Oscar pools, but if I was wrong in any category, I hope it's that.
Probably Casey is my best.
Casey's your best
probably
guess.
Probably my
Casey
guess.
At bat. I wouldn't be disappointed in that. But
who do you like? Who would you want to see winning in this category?
Hey, I'd like to see Viggo Mortensen just come up and surprise everyone.
Viggo Mortensen was really terrific in that movie.
Did a good job.
I wish they titled that movie
something
different.
Why was there no buzz around that performance? That was a really good performance.
There was enough buzz to get him an Oscar nomination.
A little bit, yeah. But I don't think they had enough. Didn't make enough money for them to support a big campaign for it.
Well, Andrew Garfield, two movies, Silence. Mm-hmm.
Well, if Silence had been a better movie, I think Martin Scorsese cost Andrew Garfield the Oscar this year because if Silence had been strong, that 1-2 punch of those two.
He's Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle.
He's Gomer Pyle.
Can't sing.
He can't sing.
That was always weird with Jim Nabors. Oh, thank you, Sergeant Carter. Sing a song.
Climb every mountain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there you go.
Shazam.
Golly. Shazam. All right, so I'm going with Casey Affleck. I guess we're all going with Casey Affleck, aren't we?
Ryan Gosling. We want Ryan Gosling.
I want him to win.
I love how you shove all your picks through by going, I guess we're all going, no, we're not.
Best foreign language film. So there's
nobody cares. This is like when.
No, I want to talk about this.
Remember when Bill Murray did the Oscars on Saturday Night Live?
Nobody cares. That was great. So The Salesman, the reason I bring this up is, here's a movie where when Trump had the travel ban in effect before it was overturned by the courts, the director of The Salesman was not a guy by the name of Oscar Farhadi was not going to attend because he was afraid that he wouldn't be let into the country. He wasn't going to do that. But now that the ban is lifted, I don't know if he's attending or not, but this is getting a lot of sympathy votes for this guy, where I would have told you Tony Erdman would have won hands down.
An almost unwatchable movie, by the way.
I'm thinking The Salesman. But you like this movie, Bill. We were talking on the TV show today called A Man Called Uwe.
I love that one, too.
I like that, too.
He's great. I like the guy who plays the old version of him, the cranky guy, and I like the young version.
Great.
And the woman is stunning, the one in the younger the flashbacks, the wife. She's really good, too.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be The Salesman thing. It's going to be a political statement. I'm telling you. They're gonna
I think it's going
to
be Tony Erdman. I think just because more people are aware of it at this point. Because I happened to see it recently, and my little theater was packed. There were a lot of people in there watching what is close to a 3-hour foreign film,
right,
which surprised
me. And even if they didn't watch it, as soon as they heard that Nicholson was doing a remake of it, they went, if Jack likes it, I'll vote for it.
Yeah.
What do you like here, Bill Bergoli?
Well, I think they'll probably go for Tony Erdman. Is my guess.
I'm telling you, Salesman.
But I think
I like your political argument. I agree with your political argument, by the way.
And if that didn't happen, if Hillary won or there was no travel ban, I'd say in a minute Tony Erdman would.
Logistically, when were those votes cast?
Yeah, Bill's right. The votes may have closed.
The votes may have been closed before that whole controversy came up.
Well, not before, but during, which would actually help Neil's argument.
All right. I think Zootopia wins Best Animated Film. Yeah. We all agree with that.
Or that goofy, kooby, two-strings thing.
I think it's Zootopia.
No Pixar
has the best
movie
shot
this year. No Pixar. Finding Dory did not get a nomination. It's Pixar noticeably absent. Instead, they got that movie with My Life is a Pickle or whatever that
was. My Life as a Zucchini, which is actually really good.
Isn't that also a porno?
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Harry's mother's sitting outside.
Red Turtle. Bay. Red Turtle's supposed to be good. Didn't see it.
All right. Best director is Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve.
Arrival. Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge. Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea. And Barry Jenkins for Moonlight. I want to ask you.
No contest.
So is All Forgiven, by the way, I don't think Mel Gibson's winning, but is All Forgiven with Mel Gibson? Is he back in the Hollywood?
I wouldn't have thought so. Remember, he makes his own movies, so he doesn't have to be forgiven. Everybody always,
nominated.
Is he back? He did get nominated, but he underwrites his own films. He's got pots and pots of money. But he was just asked to do the Suicide Squad sequel. So that to me, as a gun for hire, that to me means, yeah, he's okay now.
I don't think everything will ever be All Forgiven. I don't think anyone will ever say his name without thinking back to what happened. But as a filmmaker, I think the majority are getting better and better at separating his personal life from his work as a filmmaker.
He shaved that beard, thank God.
There's also no denying that he's a great director. Hacksaw Ridge is so good.
To paraphrase Sally Field, they don't like him. They really don't like him.
I don't think that's true. How do you respond to them hiring for Suicide Squad?
That could also be a slight publicity play. Where Suicide Squad, the first one, was not particularly well received. Warner Brothers and the DC EU is all over the place right now. You hire someone like Mel Gibson, it gets people talking again.
Suicide Squad blew. I hated that movie.
Margot Robbie was amazing.
I don't know. I think she was overacting in that thing. She was just
hard to overact in that role.
DC just can't get it together in terms of doing.
I want them to so badly. I don't hate by any means Suicide Squad and Batman versus Superman, but those were two of my most anticipated movies of the year.
Superman
didn't meet my expectations.
Superman is such a fun character. And to screw that up, I mean, they did well with the Batman ones, but, you know, once Christopher for a while, but then Christopher Nolan left, and, you know, as well as Christian Bale, and now you got the crappy Batmans, you know, and so.
By the way, if you have a dictionary, look up, but we digress, and this conversation is in there. Okay, so we've gone a little far afield of our Oscar chat.
Best Picture. Best director. Best director. Okay, so
Damien
I say
Chazelle.
Damien Chazelle is the lock on this one. Hollywood, you know, I don't know. And there's a lot of great directorial touches in that. I mean, he shuts down a freeway in Los Angeles and does a musical number. They're flying in the sky in a planetarium, and that planetarium above the is it called the planetarium?
No, it's Griffith Park.
In the above the Hollywood sign. That
and even the scene that I mentioned before
it's
with Emma Stone.
It's an observatory. I said
the way that they shoot the audition number, I just get the sense that that was the way he decided to shoot it, and I don't know if any other director would have approached it the same way.
Well, I love the ending.
Baz Luhrmann could have made this movie, but
like 8mm bled out color and, you know, kind of like scratch.
Yeah, LA looks great. There's no question that that's what everybody thinks too of the film. I agree with you. I think he's the wonder kid. I think they loved him for Whiplash, and I think that this is his step up to the next thing. I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, what do you think, Bergoglio?
Sure, no-brainer, but I'd like to see Kenneth Lonergan win only because he got such good performances out of his actors.
So do we all.
That is what a director does, you're right.
All right, Best Picture. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. That's 9 nominees. I think La La Land's a slam dunk, and because Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood, as I said on the TV show today, Talking Pictures, which airs on Spectrum, Time Warner Cable nationally, and New York One in New York, and this is the after show for that. And what do we say every week on the show, Bill?
We watch the bad movies so you don't have to.
Well,
we didn't really have to for any of these because this was an exceptional year, I think. I really think this was a good year.
You know, Argo wins Best Picture. It's a movie where Hollywood saves the day.
You know what they like better than movies about Hollywood?
The silent movie wins. It's about Hollywood.
Silent movie was also about immigration. You know what they like more than just movies about Hollywood? They like movies that are about something. And La La Land is about love and heartbreak, and that's nice, but Hidden Figures is about a story they didn't know about until they saw
really
it.
Do you really think that Hidden Figures
is a big crowd pleaser?
There you go. Yeah. Bergoglio's jumping in with
movie.
Me.
Huge crowd.
It's made more money
movie.
Than
yes.
La La Land.
Hidden Figures is a crowd pleaser, and there's no doubt that the fact that it made so much of the box office is probably going to to get it more votes than had it not popped quite like it did. This is La La Land's award to win no matter what.
All I'm saying is the front runner can stumble. That's all I'm saying. And that I've talked to people in New York, not in Los Angeles, who aren't as enraptured with the idea that L.A. is one of the characters in the movie. If you're a voter in New York, you don't care about that, and okay. They're not voting
you
for
you. You want to talk about a movie that's Figures. About something.
Five people yeah. I talk to
for,
are voting
all,
for Hidden
no
Figures.
There's no way that La La Land is not winning. That would be one of the biggest upsets in Oscar history. But if anything beats La La Land, and I don't think anything will, I think it's Moonlight that would beat mm-hmm. La La Land, because Moonlight is an innovative movie about something. It's about sexual identity in an urban area of Miami. It's innovative in the sense that it's three different phases in this young man's
These
life.
These are the same people who gave
very,
who
that's
overlooked
really
Brokeback Mountain for Crash. That's all I'm telling you. This is the same crowd that overlooked Brokeback Mountain and gave Best
Hidden
Picture
Figures,
to Crash.
Although it is about something, yes, it brings to light three African-American women whose contributions to the NASA space program in the 60s has been overlooked, is more, if you look at the script, is more like a crowd-pleasing kind of movie. You know, it's I cannot see that movie
This is
winning.
Part of the reason why La La Land is going to run away with it, because when you ask everybody else who their second choice is, who they would pick other than La La Land, it's kind of spread across the board. I hear a lot of people championing Moonlight, then some
it's
people
so
love
figures.
It's yeah.
What do you think, Bregoli? You're betting on it. What do you think?
And if I bet, I would bet La La Land, but something inside me saying Hidden Figures is gonna come up through the crowd.
That would shock me.
I would be shocked.
There
we
go.
Well, look, we all thought somebody else was going to win for president too. So,
and Sly Stallone was supposed to win.
If you want to go on that sliding scale, then anything could win. Then Hella High Water wins Best Picture. And
well, I'd love that. Well, actually, Lion is the one that deserves it. It's the number one
Lion
movie
is a
on
great
my
movie.
List. Yeah.
It's a great movie. That's a crowd-pleasing movie. Talk about crowd-pleasing movies. Well, the screenplays, I think, is original and adapted. What do you think, Perry? What's winning adapted and what's winning screen?
Like we were talking about on the show.
Yeah, Perry had a good point about this
controversy. Moonlight
controversy
made the move, because I believe Moonlight won the WGA Award for original, but the Academy decided it was an adapted screenplay. So
yeah, because somebody, adapted. Some kid, it's because younger.
An unproduced play. That's
was
that's
it a play?
It
I thought
yeah.
it was just like a,
no,
a
actually,
I thought it was like a paragraph.
I wrote the note
I thought
here,
it was a
actually.
Line or two that somebody wrote.
With Moonlight, it's based on a stage piece. In Moonlight, black boys look blue, and it was never officially produced.
Right.
Which,
right.
I mean, I obviously have no idea who makes the rules or, you know.
Well, all
what
of that aside, then, because
be,
nobody, because everybody just
well,
fell asleep
that immediately
in this conversation.
Gives
it's
that
interesting, but
that
I mean,
immediately gives that award to Moonlight, though, and it opens up the original category, and I think that's either La La Land or Manchester by the Sea, and I think that's Manchester's award to win.
Yeah, I think Manchester's got that, too. Although there's a huge, have you been reading about this contingency that's been going around, like, almost door to door and talking to people about The Lobster, that there's a bunch of people that are trying to make
please.
That happen.
The first half happening. Of the movie is very interesting, and then I know you agree with me, Bill McCuddy, the movie completely falls apart in the second half.
Literally jumps a shark with a lobster on its back.
I think Manchester by the Sea for original, I think Moonlight for adapted, and I think that I think Moonlight deserves an Moonlight deserves a screenplay award. The screenplay is quite good in that.
Moonlight
know?
Deserves something. If Moonlight does not walk away from the Academy Awards ceremony without
oh, wait, you guys think it's
going
to win Supporting Actor?
But why? Look, you want to talk about a great screenplay, but okay.
Color High Water is a great screenplay.
Fences,
yeah.
But it's August Wilson, but, you know, he was dead when they made the movie. I mean, it's his dialogue verbatim from the stage play.
That written work has gotten enough attention.
It's gotten
that's
Tony Awards.
That's what they're going to think. That's not an Oscar.
Yeah, it wasn't written directly for the screen. It was just basically, with a couple of exceptions, a couple of lines added here and there, it's predominantly August Wilson's 30-some-odd-year-old play that I'm sure won.
So Michael Shannon and Hidden Figures are the two big surprises, and I'm thrilled for
not
those.
Happening.
And,
nope.
And what do you
Isabel
like
Huppert.
What do you like in the screenplay categories?
Manchester by the Sea, I'm thinking it's going to be a lock.
You're and going with that?
So. Yeah, I'm going with that.
Adapted,
and for original and for adapted. What if Lion snuck in there?
Ooh, I'd
Lion's
that.
Good, man.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm going with Moonlight.
Yeah.
I'm going with Moonlight.
Yeah, probably Moonlight, but I'm just...
So do you think La La Land's going to sweep, like it's it has the most nominations of any film tying... Titanic and was it All About Eve? I think that's the other one. So do you think La La Land is going to – do you think everything gets caught up in a La La Land sweep? Gosling and costumes and lighting and sound and all of this stuff, just all you think they're going to break a record and just get everything? And do you think there's a La La – do you think there's a La La Land sweep this Sunday? That's my question.
I want it to be a La La Land sweep. I want it, to break or tie the record. However – coming up with my picks for my Oscar pool, which I very much want to win, I have come down to 10 wins for it. So I don't think it's going to break any records. But that's a lot of Academy Awards.
Yeah, 10 wins would be a sweep. I don't think, you know, I've already gone on record with saying that I think Hidden Figures could be the upset. And I think, but I do like Ryan Gosling. I hope he wins. And I think Damien Chazelle has, that's the another lock of the evening. So but no, I don't think it can be a complete sweep. I don't think
I can guarantee you Emma Stone's Thompson will not win an Academy
Award. Emma Stone could lose to Isabelle Huppert.
I'm going out.
Watch Isabelle Huppert.
No way.
Watch that, because that's where our big money bet is.
Oh. That's the big money bet? All right. Last but not least, we talked about this at the beginning. Back to the Trump thing. Is there going to be that? Will Meryl Streep make another statement?
Absolutely. If she gets up there.
I think she is. Is she a presenter? I think she is a presenter.
I'd be stunned if she's not.
Well, she's in the audience for Florence Foster Jenkins. I can't imagine they would not. You know, when you're there, they let you.
As long as she doesn't sing.
Well, she'll sing. They'll show a clip from Florence Foster Jenkins where she'll sing something. All right, so that's our bet. Oh, you want to talk documentary feature?
Not really.
I say OJ.
OJ.
OJ. Yeah.
OJ, for sure.
OJ.
Although 13's are really...
it's good.
It is good. All right, so anyway, that is our special Oscar edition.
It ran almost as long as the Oscars themselves.
Well, Bill McCuddy's going to do a big musical number for us right now.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Gotta dance.
Stars.
No.
City of stars. All right. Anyway, for Bill Bregoli.
Yes, sir.
Perry Nemiroff.
Bye.
Bill McCuddy.
Don't collide her. What?
I'm Neil Rosen.
That came out wrong. Her mother's right in the other room.
Talking pictures. Thanks for sitting around talking movies. We'll sit around talking movies with you on our regular podcast next week. Bye.